The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, more political instability in the north as Edwin Poots quits as DUP leader less than 5 weeks after he was elected to replace Arlene Foster. Poots' tenure as leader, while the shortest in the party's history, was marred by internal divisions from the outset. To get some reaction and analysis, I'm joined now by Progressive Unionist Party leader and councillor for Cork DA, representing Greater Shankill area, Billy Hutchinson. Billy, good morning. SDLP leader and MP for Foyle, Colm Eastwood, and BBC Northern Ireland Home Affairs correspondent, Julian O'Neill. Good morning to you all. Julian, first of all, some analysis as to whether this was inevitable given what happened with Brandon Lewis and the whole quest for an Irish Language Act.
I think for me, the most bewildering aspect of yesterday was the fact that Edwin Poots went into the Assembly Chamber and nominated Paul Given as First Minister in the face of overwhelming opposition internally within the DUP. That was an incredible act of self-harm politically. And I think the moment he cast that die, he was on borrowed time and he didn't survive the day. I think the most bewildering aspect of that bewildering act was the fact that Edwin Poots did not take the extra few days which the timetable afforded him to attempt to convince his party that this was the right thing to do. Instead, he left a meeting of the Assembly party before it had even voted and went into the Assembly chamber and set yesterday's events in motion.
It tells us something, though, about the lack of tuning of his political antennae, doesn't it?
It's incredible that a man who is a seasoned politician and who has held four ministerial posts within Stormont completely misread the mood. If this was an attempt to stamp his leadership authority on the party after 3 weeks in power, it failed spectacularly. And I think that is what most commentators are struggling to get their heads around. He had until Monday to make a nomination, and he did not take any time whatsoever to try to bring the party with him, never mind the unionist electorate, who are in quite a demoralised state at this moment in time because of the outworking of Brexit. And I think when we have this conversation, we need to bear in mind the psyche within unionism at this moment in time. The root cause of all this is the outworking of Brexit, the Irish Sea Border Protocol. The DUP has been desperately trying to win back those people within unionism who are dismayed with how Brexit has turned out. And I think this move is all about timing. I don't think anyone within the DUP, apart from Edwin Poots, obviously, and those four MLAs who voted with him, felt that the conditions were right to sell acceptance of Irish language legislation at this moment in time as we enter the cusp of the marching season when political temperatures are already high because of the protocol.
Now, Julie, it seems extraordinary that, having persuaded Sinn Féin to nominate Michelle O'Neill, obviously, as Deputy First Minister, given their total antipathy to Paul Given, that would be seen as something of a victory. But not looking behind him at his own people to see whether they would find him acceptable. Can you explain to me what it is about Paul Given that so dismayed his own party while Sinn Féin had accepted that nomination?
I don't think this was about personalities at all. I think there was an acceptance that Paul Given, a very capable young politician within the DUP, was an accepted choice among the party. It was the fact that he nominated someone at all. And as his unionist critics have said, he paid Sinn Féin's ransom demand. And that was the acceptance that if Stormont did not legislate for Irish language before October, then the UK government would. So this was all about timing. This was all about misreading the political mood within his own party and unionism. This was not about Paul Given per se as first minister.
Yeah.
And I think it has been pointed out as well that this was a highly divisive DUP election just a matter of weeks ago. The party has
Did he make a mistake, though, in dividing the two jobs? Would he have had more clout if he said, yes, I'll be DUP leader, thanks for voting me in, and I will be First Minister? I mean, was that strategy foolish anyway?
I know people have questioned the strategy of splitting the two positions, but I don't really see that being a factor at all in what played out yesterday. No one has said for one second that the DUP problems yesterday were caused by Paul Given being nominated as First Minister. The problems were caused by Edwin Poots not reading the mood and going ahead and doing something in defiance of his own party. And the point I was going to make, Pat, was that here was a leader who sold himself during an internal electoral process as a listener. A listener of MLAs and grassroots members who felt that they had no influence and no say in the direction of the party and the party's decision making under Arlene Foster. And yet, within a matter of weeks, Edwin Poots defied his own party with consequences for himself as leader of the DUP.
And finally, I know the Irish Language Act was long promised, and we had the Assembly failing to function for such a long time over that and the cash for ash and all the rest of it. But you can, if you take it from a unionist point of view, you can look at Brandon Lewis, who says, if you guys don't do it in Stormont, we'll do it in Westminster. And such an act would not even have Sinn Féin MPs voting for it. They wouldn't show up. You can see why people might be a bit annoyed, and maybe their anger should properly be pointed at Brandon Lewis and the British government for their perfidy towards unionism rather than Edwin Poots himself.
Yeah, I agree with that, and make no mistake, unionists are angry with the conduct of Brandon Lewis and the British government, more so than what Edwin Poots did yesterday. But part of that, of course, is now because the sting has been taken out of anger towards Edwin Poots among unionism because he has resigned. And remember, unionism is dealing with a British government who imposed same-sex marriage, abortion reform over the heads of those hardliners within the DUP. And they were now threatening to do the same with Irish language. The same British government who unionists distrust intensely now because of the Irish Sea border. And I think no one should underestimate the relations, the breakdown in relations, not just among the parties at Stormont, but among unionists, the DUP, and the British government. Now, they are obviously trying to put incredible pressure on the British government to trigger Article 16 to extend grace periods to do something about the protocol. And some of the outworkings of that pressure is being seen on the streets of Northern Ireland with sporadic, peaceful protests and demonstrations against the protocol.
Right, Julian, thank you very much for that. Julian O'Neill, BBC Northern Ireland Home Affairs correspondent. Billy Hutchinson has been listening to that conversation. Billy, the statement made by Sammy Wilson resonates with me. You can't be a leader if you've no followers. And that seems to be the problem that Edwin Poots belatedly realised.
Yeah, I think it's Sammy was referencing what Julian had mentioned, and that was that he had, you know, he had said in the election that he would listen to the party and he would also listen to the community, and he did nail her yesterday, as we know, which was reported in the news here, was that, you know, they were arguing about this inside the building and he left and went down and did what he did in the chamber. So I think that, you know, he didn't listen, and if he had listened, he, you know, he would still be in place. But he didn't, for whatever reason. He decided to go ahead with what he's doing. Now, that'll be analysed, by everybody in different ways, but I just think that he should have listened. I think that the other thing is, you mentioned the Secretary of State, Brandon Lewis. You know, why do they keep doing this? Why, whenever there is no confidence between the two biggest parties, why do the British keep intervening? I mean, the whole point of this is that you need to have confidence in each other to actually move forward. Otherwise, the political system we have will never work. But, you know, the thing about it is, I think it's anger and unionists about all of this is, you know, that Secretary of State had to say that on one issue from, you know, the new approach. He never introduced any of the other things that was in the new approach that we've been waiting on for a number of years. So from that point of view, you know, this will just magnify the whole thing. It was, you know, for me, this yesterday was not about the Irish Language Act, but it was about, you know, that Edmund decided to actually, you know, take those positions. And that put him in a very bad place because his party didn't want him to do that.
What you're saying there is about Brandon Lewis, you know, intervenes on this and appears to be backing the Sinn Féin position instead of letting the parties within Stormont sort it out themselves. He might say, well, look, you know, you failed to do it yourselves on the various occasions when there was an opportunity to do so. So we have to intervene. We can't have another period of no government in Stormont. What do you say to that argument that they might make were they here to make it?
Well, I mean, it's not a good argument. I mean, what I'm saying to you is that I want to see a local assembly up and running and I want to see it working. But if the two largest parties can't get agreement, then shut it down until they actually do. You know, cut off their wages and say, you know, whenever you sort this out, then we'll put it back up. It's happened too many times. And they continue to allow these people to drag their heels and do whatever they want. You know, so from that point of view, I think, you know, that he took the wrong approach as Secretary of State because what he's doing is just saying, we'll implement it. And that looks like, you know, this is a kick against unionism. And that's the issue here. Unionism is already in a bad place, as Julian has said. You know, so from that point of view, you know, every time it just looks like if Sinn Féin gets what Sinn Féin wants. And we can't have that. This is a divided society and we need to have this balanced out. So from my point of view, where is the rest of the agreement that was in the new approach? It's not there. So why was he threatened just with one and not the rest? Because they hadn't brought those forward either.
And that question of the parties negotiating with each other and sorting it out themselves, is it always the problem that the British government is there like a parent? And when the children row, that they know that one way or the other, the parent is going to intervene and sort out the problem. You know, whereas in normal, you know, in Dublin, for example, if there's a row in the Dáil, it gets sorted out. There's a vote or whatever, and it gets sorted or it gets sorted out in committee. But because the British government is there as, if you like, this quasi-parent, people don't feel the same necessity to work it out themselves.
Yeah, but that's very true what you say, Pat, and I agree with you to an extent. But you have to realise, you know, we live in a divided society and the Assembly was set up in that way so that people would have to work it out. So therefore, you know, on that premise, you need the people who are in power to actually be confident with what's going ahead and confident with each other. I mean, that's what this is based on. You cannot run this like the Dáil on a majority vote. Sinn Féin would never have accepted that. Or would have the SDLP, for that matter, whenever John Hume and Seamus Mullen was there. So from that point of view, you know, this whole thing has been set up in a way that you work with a divided society, yeah. And there has to be a certain amount of confidence, if not trust. And unfortunately, you know, the whole spirit of the agreement has gone in terms of both sides, and you know, it needs to be brought back to a position where people can have that confidence. Look, we've seen Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness, we've seen Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness, you know, and we've seen all of those working. Before that, we've seen Mullen and David Trimble. So we've seen all of them ones work at that. Now, whenever the Assembly came down before, it was mainly around, you know, the spy ring within republicanism and things like that. But in terms of now not being able to agree things, we need to work out how that's done. And we need to go back to the drawing board and look at how, because we do need an assembly in Northern Ireland. We live in a divided society and we have to accept that. And we are better doing this ourselves rather than others actually pushing us to do whatever needs to be done. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, that agreement or that confidence in the two largest parties doesn't exist.
Billy Hutchinson, Progressive Unionist Party leader. Thank you very much for joining us. Another party leader now joining us, SDLP leader, MP for Foyle, Colm Eastwood. Colm, good morning.
Good morning,
Pat. So, what is your prognosis as to what will now unfold?
Well, it isn't good. I think unionism in particular is in a very bad place. And as Julian was saying earlier, it goes right back to Brexit. There's an awful lack of confidence there. And I think the DUP need to think very carefully about their next steps, because if they decide to become more hardline, I think that will only end in a bad place. But if they embrace and remember what power sharing is about and how difficult it is and the fact that we have to make compromises and stick to them, then I think there are ways through all of these difficulties. But all political parties need to stop threatening the collapse of the institutions. You know, Sinn Féin should never have threatened the collapse of the institutions over Irish language. Irish language should be delivered, has to be delivered. But so does all the other. So do all the other commitments in the New Decade, New Approach Agreement. You know, in my own constituency in Derry, there's 57 years we've been waiting for a full-scale, full-sized university. That's a John Hume's first campaign. We still don't have that. That was in the agreement. We agreed to deal with the waiting list. Over 300,000 people on a waiting list. You know, we agreed to deal with issues around education and the economy, not being done. And I think there is a real problem here that we always end up in a culture war instead of, you know, judging politicians by on delivery or lack of it. And the DUP and Sinn Féin, in my view, been running this place for 14 years, haven't really got to grips with the issue of actually having to do things on all of those bread and butter issues. And what we see is them constantly looking after themselves and very rarely looking after the people. And we go from crisis to crisis, and it's a great big political soap opera. But all the while, people are still on hospital waiting lists. They're still in agony. We still are losing thousands of young people every year to emigration. We haven't dealt with those issues. I think it's about time, you know, after all of this time, that we got back to some real politics and started delivering for the public.
I mentioned about London as the parent who can always intervene and sort out the squabble. But, I mean, Dublin has a role in this as well. I mean, is there a case for asking the two sovereign governments in London and Dublin to butt out and force people to knock their own heads together?
Well, you know, frankly, we had a period where the two governments stepped away and we ended up with no government for 3 years. That is the nature of this place. It's the nature of the Good Friday Agreement. We need the co-guarantors there and paying close attention. But I think they both need to think very carefully about how they approach this. I think I had amendments ready to go next week on Irish language, because the DUP should have implemented that agreement. They just should have. And if they didn't, it was going to cause a political crisis. We saw that coming, and it obviously created a political crisis. But I think Brandon Lewis was fairly cack-handed in the way that he did that this week. So we have to be very cognizant of all the political traditions in Northern Ireland, but we, I think, have to force, and the people have to do this, have to force the DUP and Sinn Féin to stop the squabbling, stop threatening to pull down the Assembly and the Executive, and actually begin to deal with the hard questions that, you know, the issues that are coming into my constituency office every day around health and education and housing and jobs. They're the issues that people care about. They're the issues that people are concerned about. Yes, we have to do the cultural stuff, but they should not be allowed to drag our politics into the gutter and to stop us making progress on the other more pressing issues.
Colm Eastwood, SDLP leader, thank you very much for joining us.